Hey there, everyone, and welcome back to The Outer Rim. I am not Lou Secchi, in case you couldn't tell. In fact, this is no longer The Outer Rim that you were used to. In case you missed the announcement that Eric posted a few days ago now, we're recording on February the 3rd. The Outer Rim is now the Star Wars news show that myself, Mike, and Lindsay are doing. And the former Outer Rim is now going to be released under the Random Chatter name. So that means that you'll get two episodes of Random Chatter a week. The news discussion where, you know, just like the old Outer Rim was. And then the topic discussion. Eric will also be doing a Random Chatter recap. Solo show, about 5-10 minutes, that we'll be talking about the kind of the headlines of that week, and also the box office results and new releases. So yeah, The Outer Rim is now the Star Wars news show, and we are a person down tonight. Lindsay is not with us, but I do have Mike. Mike, yep. How are you doing tonight?
I'm ready to go.
Cool. So, first of all, I'm really glad that you, I have to give you credit because you're the one that thought of, well, hey, let's just use the Outer Rim because we were going to rebrand it anyways.
Yeah. So. I'm glad it worked out,
mm-hmm.
You know.
I should also mention that if you are, if you're listening to this, I'm assuming that you are subscribed to the Outer Rim feed. So if you want the old Outer Rim, just go subscribe to either the Random Chatter Network feed or the Random Chatter Show feed. You will get both of those there. And if you're listening to this on the Random Chatter Network feed, then come subscribe to the Outer Rim feed or the Star Wars feed. I know it's confusing, but, you know, as long as you're getting the show somehow, then, you know, that's all that matters. So we don't have a lot of major news this week, at least, you know, last time when we talked about the last Jedi title. But we did have some cool little nuggets here. The first thing is probably the biggest announcement, I'd say, is the Han Solo spinoff movie has started filming.
Yeah, how great was that picture that they tweeted out?
It was great.
I love it. I love that they're just playing up, like, so if you guys haven't seen it yet, the code name for the Han Solo movie is Star Wars Red Cup,
mm-hmm.
which, as we all know, Solo cups are synonymous for being red.
Mm-hmm. I also like the caption they put in the tweet, which was Han first shot instead of Han shot first.
Yeah, That was great. And, you know, the more I think about this movie, the more excited I get for it. I just recently watched Lego Movie again, and, you know, Miller and Lord are so good at that.
Mm-hmm.
And I really hope I know we're not going to get the same kind of wacky movie that Lego Movie was, but I want it to be kind of a dumb buddy movie.
Mm-hmm. Like, I can see that.
Kind of akin to, you know, Dude, Where's My Car? But in Star Wars.
Yeah, I'll be honest. They are the only reason that I'm even remotely excited for this movie. That and the fact that Donald Glover is in it. But otherwise, it's so hard for me to care about this movie. And
yeah,
I hate saying that, but I mean, it's true.
It's just because it feels like this is a movie we didn't ask for and we didn't need. I've said this before, like, the Han Solo movie feels like people who, like, old Star Wars fans who just haven't grown to accept everything, who still think Han Solo is the coolest character in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this movie feels like they're telling us we need it.
Yeah. I can
see. I mean, and that's my thing about it. But I could be wrong. Like, Rogue One, I was explaining this to someone else too. Like, the difference between Rogue One and The Force Awakens is that Rogue One or Phantom Menace, Force Awakens feels like a movie that was made by people who like Star Wars. Rogue One feels like people who know Star Wars. And so Rogue or the Han Solo movie, I'm really hoping kind of continues that.
So the no Star Wars thing.
No, I'm all for Star Wars.
No, I mean like that they know Star Wars rather than...
Oh, that they know Star Wars. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like they... And that's what I want. Like, and I think I said this last episode, like the story movies can be the fan servicey ones.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I want from this one. Like, I want to see... I don't necessarily want to see things from the Han Solo trilogy, but I would love to see, you know, this movie's, you know, based on Han's age. He's, you know, approximately 30 in A New Hope. So if this is, you know, a couple, you know, 10 years earlier, you know, he's in his late teens, early 20s. This is still kind of Clone Wars era.
Yeah.
You know, it's still pre-Rebels. And the Empire's not super old. You know, I kind of want to see more fallout from the Clone Wars and how people are adjusting. Like, that's what I want to see.
Yeah. It'll be interesting because, personally, I grew tired of the Clone Wars era just because that was the time when I was really, really into Star Wars. And it just got old, and that's why I was never really a fan of the Clone Wars TV show. And then seeing Rebels, you know, we're in a time frame that, you know, aside from a few video games and some books, we never really got explored a lot. So it's nice that we are, you know, getting all of this extra content, Rebels, Rogue One, etc. And now part of me feels like I even though I hated it at the time... Sorry, I didn't really hate it. I just grew tired of it. I wouldn't mind if this, you know, was a little bit closer to the Clone Wars time than what we've been getting right now. So,
yeah, like it still feels like they're trying to distance themselves from the prequels. And that's not to say like Disney's ashamed of the prequels. It's just that's not the focus right now.
Yeah.
But us as fans, and because the Clone Wars have been so huge for the past decade, like it still feels like we need some kind of resolution that we didn't get.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, the Clone Wars technically ended in Revenge of the Sith, but the TV show added so much more. We didn't get like a final resolution to that.
Yeah.
So, I don't, yeah.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to put it. Plus, I mean, we've only seen the Empire in their prime, and I would argue that by the time Rebels occurs, they are in their prime. You know, they've really taken over. They have a foothold.
Oh yeah, they have.
It would be nice to see them, you know, have the struggles that really any like new form of government has. You know.
Yeah. Because that's what I want to see, because, like, the galaxy is still really separated. Like, yeah, the Empire is everywhere, but the galaxy is still kind of, you know, the boonies, basically. In the newest issue of Dr. Aphra, they kind of hint that they still think the Death Star is a fake, even though, like, Jeddah... And, you know, the Battle of Alderaan, the news from the Death Star being destroyed hasn't, like, it's still in the rumor phase.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I just find fascinating about that. And I want to see more of how the Empire, like, is controlling everything if everybody's still kind of super far out and doesn't, you know, read the news every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would be nice to really get more in-depth Star Wars movies than, you know, than what we're used to, because, you know, the prequels and the original trilogy and, you know, the first movie, the sequel trilogy, they're good movies, but they never really, like, got into the heart and soul of Star Wars. That was always, you know, the comics or the books or sometimes the video games. And with Rogue One, I think we got a little taste of that, and I wouldn't mind seeing it from the Han Solo movie too, even though I do recognize that they kind of have to keep it not too much for the casual audience to understand.
Yeah, no, I mean, that goes back to what I said. Like, the saga movies can be for, like, the people who like Star Wars, and the story movies can be for, like, the people who really need that extra content. Like, yeah, they could still be for everybody, and I don't want to exclude anyone. Like, everyone should love Star Wars. Mm-hmm. But the story movies are a safer bet in exploring that stuff you can't explore in the saga movies because it would alienate people.
Exactly. Like, I think there are enough Star Wars fans out there too that, regardless of, you know, even if the casual audience hates, you know, one of the spinoff movies, the hardcore fans or the ones that are more invested into the franchise, even if they don't, you know, digest any of the extra material, they're still going to like it. They're still going to see it. And, you know, it's going to be worth making, even if it doesn't always get to the casual audience.
Yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, Star Wars fans are savvy enough to know there's a lot more than just the movies.
Yeah.
And, like, even the casual fan, like, will ask occasionally, where do I start?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I love the concept of the story movies. And Disney really started on the right foot by kind of acknowledging, hey, the story movies, we don't really expect to make as much money as the saga films, so we're going to do crazier things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the perfect mentality for it.
Yeah. I just really hope that they keep this one interesting, because, again, I just like Rogue One, I'm going to go into it with not a lot of expectations. You know, I don't care who they who's cast or what the story is or really anything. You know, when it comes to these spinoff movies, I feel like we as fans kind of need to always keep our expectations not low, but at a reasonable level, just so it, you know, we don't end up disappointing ourselves and end up hurting the future of the spinoff movies in the future. So,
yeah, no, I agree.
So this next part, I want to get your thoughts on, because on the last episode of Echo Base, Eric, Lou, and I talked about the anniversary of the special editions. So I'm going to keep quiet here because I kind of gave my opinion on that. So if, in case anyone is unaware, the 20th anniversary of the special editions is this year. And I think the end of January was A New Hope. Empire came out sometime in February, and then I think Return of the Jedi was in March or something like that. So
it was like March or April. Yeah, yeah. I remember watching it. I had seen Star Wars on VHS beforehand. I was born in 85, so I was way after the last movie when I was conscious enough to watch these kind of movies. But I'd grown up with Episode 4 for the longest time, and it wasn't until, it wasn't until I was like 11 or 12 when I finally saw Empire. In fact, I think I was 12 when the special edition, yeah, 85, 97. So when the special editions finally came out, like, this was the first chance for me to really see Star Wars in a different way, not on VHS, and then to kind of finally absorb the full story.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I think when I was 10 was when the VHS, like, trilogy came out with, like, those really iconic now black covers. And I actually really liked the interview with George Lucas and Leonard Maltin at the beginning, because they would talk about, some cool stuff that this was pre-internet, so that you didn't know, and this was kind of the coolest way to find out that info. And on the tape for Return of the Jedi was when he kind of hinted at what he wanted to do with the prequel trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
So then the special editions came, and it was so cool to see this for the first time. And me being so young and just you know, CGI was getting to be the coolest thing. Like, I was really blown away by it. Empire, I don't remember seeing in the theater. And Jedi, I do. And I, because Jedi is my favorite of the original trilogy. Mm-hmm. It's really close between Empire and Jedi, but Jedi usually wins out. But which is ironic because Jedi was kind of the one they touched the least in the overall things they changed, other than really adding Jedi rocks and the new Ewok celebration song at the end. Mm-hmm. Jedi was kind of the one they touched the least. In fact, Empire was the one they touched the least.
Yeah.
That was more just kind of cleanup.
Yeah.
But overall, like, I don't mind the changes. I'm in the, you know, Han only shot, you know, camp, not Han shot first. Like, Han was the only one who ever shot. And as I got older, like, I understood why people had a problem with that. And so I've kind of fallen in that camp too, because I do like Han Solo's growth as a bad guy or not so good guy that turned into a good guy by the end of the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't, I mean, and that was George's thing. So let him do what he wants to the movie. But yeah, I remember actually liking Jedi Rocks too when I was younger.
Let Eric hear that.
No, Eric, I'm going to tell you, I liked Jedi Rocks. Liked, very key word. I think it's catchy. And if you really think about it, it's a preview of what was coming in, you know, Phantom Menace. That kind of kitschy comedy that George Lucas really finds, you know, hilarious. This was definitely a preview for that. You know, it was right there in front of us and nobody saw it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, but then going into the kind of the behind the scenes stuff of Jedi Rocks was really cool. Like how the actress who played Ula in 83 came back and played her in, you know, 95 when they shot the movie, and she still fit in the same exact costume.
See, like, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Like I always found that interesting.
Huh. I did not know that.
Yeah. And it's funny, back when Old Republic was coming out back in like 2011-12, I was at Comic-Con and walking by the booth for EA, and they were doing like a trivia contest, and I wasn't even in line, and the girl in that was asking the questions was like, who are the three dancers in Jabba's palace? And nobody answered, so I just kind of leaned in and I was like, Lin Mi, Griata, and Rice Doll. And so I got a shirt.
Hey, you can't beat that.
But it's like, but that's how much I loved those changes, and that they've stuck with me.
Mm-hmm.
And then just kind of finding more behind the scenes footage stuff, like that's the original, you know, Boba Fett costume. It's not Jeremy Bullock in the costume. I can't remember who's in it, but it always cracks me up when you see the behind the scenes shots of Boba Fett, like in Jabba's palace, like talking to the dancers and his helmet's off. And it's kind of a middle-aged dopey guy with glasses and a mustache.
Yeah.
And just always cracks me up.
So here's my question for you.
Okay.
What version of the original trilogy do you prefer now that we've had the special edition and then the 2004 release and then the Blu-rays? Which one is, like, when you watch the movies, if you have to only choose one to watch, which one are you going to watch?
Ah, jeez. I mean, I have to watch the Blu-rays because those are the ones I physically have, but my perfect version of the movies would be kind of a combination of all of them. Like Obi-Wan's scream when he scares the sand people, the original one's always going to be the best. But there are some but I do like the way that now Han and Greedo shoot almost at the same time in the new Blu-ray edition. But then in the DVD releases, they didn't do the stupid rock thing that R2 hides behind from the Sand People.
Yeah.
So, like, those little things, like, those kind of changes are things that, like, I would want. So, like, my perfect version would be a combination of all those. Mm-hmm. I do kind of wish they would have gone back and changed the entire Death Star battle, because it's really painfully obvious when it goes from the CG shots to the model shots.
Yeah.
And it's like, I would have preferred it if they had just committed to one or the other.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
It's very jarring, and in a way that, like, Return of the Jedi, which up until Rogue One had the best space battle, mm-hmm. like, Jedi space battle was, like, pure bliss in terms of, like, all the models. And I understand that, like, New Hope, that's kind of how they were back then when they shot that. And, like, yeah, I just, my perfect combination would be just those three. Mm-hmm. But also, sorry, I totally glossed over what my favorite change in Empire was, opening up Cloud City.
Yes.
Because when you watch the original one and compare it to Cloud City in the special editions, like, it's beautiful. And I think that's definitely the best change in Empire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a pretty much unanimous call when it comes to Empire. I mean, again, there wasn't a lot that, you know, was changed from that movie, but the fact that, you know, you added so much to Cloud City, yeah, it's nostalgic to just see the, you know, like, the matte paintings and, like, the little minimalistic background of the original, but just to know that it's a, you know, it's more than just, you know, a tiny little place on a, you know, a little planet. It's a, you know, it's a lot more than that. So it is very nice to see. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was, I'm like you, I can't, I mean, the only copies of A New Hope and Empire and Jedi that I have are the 2004, actually that's a lie, I have the 2004 DVDs and then the 2007 quote-unquote original theatrical cut that is actually just a version of the movie ripped from a Laserdisc copy.
Mm-hmm.
And I prefer that one just because I like vintage looking things, and you know, the fact that to me Star Wars still looks incredible, you know, 40 years later.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just makes me smile. But you know, I'm like you, if I could make a definitive edition, you know, have some of the changes, get rid of some of the others, and just clean it up and make it look, you know, really good, like restoration, color, all that stuff, I could, but, you know, who knows if we'll ever get anything remotely close to that.
Yeah, like, I would prefer it if they took it easy for a while.
Yeah.
Like, because the 2011 Blu-rays are still in print.
Yeah.
They just keep changing the boxes, mm-hmm. and that's fine. In fact, I'm actually mad because I bought the Complete Saga box.
And the now one it's not complete anymore.
Now it's not complete anymore, and it's also got the really, really terrible box art.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Is it the one with Anakin on the front?
Yeah, the one with Anakin on the front. Like, I get the symbolism they were going for, because it's supposed to be, like, the whole Anakin Skywalker story. But, oh, God, that art is so bad.
Yeah.
And then, like, you get to the last page where it's the entire, like, all the main characters and side characters mm-hmm. of the saga, and Han, Luke, and Leia are, like, super tiny compared to people like Maul and Tarkin's huge. And, like, I think they're in the center, like, in the fold.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I would just prefer it if, like, after episode 9, like, maybe we get another box set, unless we get episode 10, and then I'm just screwed again.
Yeah. Well, you're doing a lot better than me, because when I have, you know, a few copies of the original trilogy, but when it comes to the prequels, I have a DVD of Revenge of the Sith that I got on the day it came out. but the only copies of The Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones that I have are VHS. So.
Yeah, which is, yeah, well, that was, those were the last ones to be on VHS. Mm-hmm.
They didn't do a VHS of Return of, or Revenge of the Sith in the UK.
Oh,
but not
okay.
In here in America. So
got it.
One of these days, I'll complete my VHS collection.
Yeah, a friend of mine is starting up like a VHS collection service, and I'm excited. I follow him on Instagram, and mm-hmm. just watching his collection grow is really kind of cool.
Speaking of home releases, there's a rumor going around right now that the Rogue One DVD Blu-ray is coming out on April the 4th, and this is courtesy of a Walmart, like, what looked like to me like a PowerPoint slide that they got from, like, a DVD distributor.
Mm-hmm.
And it said that there is a Rogue One release on April 4th. It's a DVD and Blu-ray deluxe combo, so I assume it's a Blu-ray and DVD digital HD release. And I think it also said maybe that the digital version of the movie will be released at the end of March. I might be wrong.
Yeah, I'm seeing March 28th.
Yeah.
is what I'm seeing.
So, yeah,
I'm excited. Yeah,
you know, it's around the time that TFA came out on Blu-ray and DVD. So, I think it's expected. Plus, it's right before Celebration, and we know, you know, if last year is anything to go by, around that time is when they can really start marketing for the next Star Wars film, which, you know, is Episode 8. So hopefully we'll be seeing that trailer at Celebration.
Yeah. And I really hope that they do this, like, kind of what Marvel does when they release the, like, their Blu-rays. They showed a preview of, like, what was the next movie or, like, some behind-the-scenes stuff. Mm-hmm. But they haven't done it lately, but I would love it if they did it with Star Wars.
Yeah. Even if they put in, like, something, like, really, like, a really small teaser. I mean,
no, maybe not so much of a teaser, but, like, some behind-the-scenes stuff.
Mm-hmm. I can see that, especially since they've been working on Episode 8 for so long now. And, you know, I understand they want to keep things quiet, especially until Celebration, but which is a few weeks later. But, you know, that would increase physical sales because, you know, a lot of people just buy the digital version now and don't even bother with, you know, the Blu-ray or something like that. So that'd be nice if they included something like that.
Yeah.
So this next piece of news, I'll be honest, I don't really care about because I think the novels are awful, but there's an Empire's End excerpt that's part of the, it's the last book in the Aftermath trilogy by Trek Wendig. And apparently the excerpt that was featured has Lando in it. And I don't know if we've ever, again, I've not read the books, so I don't know if we've had anything featuring Lando post-Return of the Jedi. Are you aware of anything, Mike?
The Journey, the Star Wars Shattered Empire mm-hmm. comics that came out as part of, like, the Journey to Force Awakens media push.
Mm-hmm.
That had Lando in it.
Oh, okay.
But I'm pretty sure that's been about the only post-Jedi stuff.
Mm-hmm. I've not read the excerpt myself. I just saw the headline. So, again, I'm not a fan of the books. I'm not going to probably ever read them because I just, you know, I'm not going to, you know, get on my soapbox right now because I've done that too many times before. But, yeah, I just, you know, it's cool. I'll take Lando just because I like Lando's a character, and it's nice that he is still around. Hopefully not cause any more trouble because that's really all he did in the, you know, in the end of Empire and even kind of the beginning of Jedi, always, you know, getting in some kind of mess.
I mean, that's the kind of Lando I like mm-hmm. is, you know, that card player scoundrel.
Yeah.
You know, I like him.
But also this might be a reason for people to buy the book or give you an extra incentive. The Barnes & Noble version of it will feature posters of characters Nora Wexley and Rae Sloane. And they look like kind of like propaganda posters, similar to other ones that we've seen from Barnes & Noble versions of this novels that have been released before.
Yeah, Yeah, I really liked the one they had from Bloodline, where like it was, you know, Senator Leia on the front and then Senator Liar on the back. Like I really, really liked that. Now, I didn't get that version. I didn't get any version because I'm horrible with the books and I just don't read them, not out of not wanting to, just because I'm terrible with books. Like I bought Lost Stars and it's been sitting on my shelf looking pretty for almost 2 years now, it feels like. But I love these kind of things, and it's really cool that these characters like Nora and especially Rae Sloane can stand on their own so much that they're going to be the poster cover characters instead of like the big three. And that's what I love about the books. Again, having not read them, but that's what I love about what they're showing in the books is that it's not just about the big three anymore. Like that was the problem with the Legends universe. It was always the big three who were coming in to save everything. Like they were literally on every cover except like three, you know, and there's nothing wrong with having them there, but it's the fact that everything revolved around them and they came in and saved everything.
Yeah.
Like I kind of prefer Han in the new universe versus Legends because I like this arc better. Like I like him being the terrible father and kind of going back, like the marriage with Leia didn't work out. Like, yeah, it sucks, but I feel like this is a little bit more realistic than like than how it was. Like I also loved them as the married couple that stayed through everything in Legends. So that's what I like about the new universe, is that it's doing everything fresh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always complain on Echo Base that, you know, none of these novels that have been released, and even the comics too, really offer anything that is a huge contribution to the saga and the overall story. And, you know, it's more supplemental stuff. And, you know, if they keep doing this and make the novels really strictly for, you know, the ones that want that extra bit of information, and they don't ever have a major story event in a movie or major story event that's not in a movie, and they put it in a book or a trilogy, I mean, I guess that's okay. But I mean, it's going to deter fans like me who, you know, if I buy a Star Wars book, I want it to matter to the, you know, to the overall gist of what's going on. You know, I'm not going to sit, you know, and spend hours reading a book if it's just going to be like, okay, well, at least, you know, now I know about that, but it, you know, it doesn't affect my opinion of, you know, other things.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like I pop in and I get my knowledge from reading like the summaries, and like I'm on Wikipedia a lot. And that's because that's how I choose to consume the histories of these characters.
Yeah.
And if I want to go read the books, I know they're there, and I know I can go back and read them. I prefer these one, like this version, because I can read it, and it gives me kind of the cliff notes that that I need to understand things.
Yeah. I'd almost like books that focused less on, you know, if rather than have the supplemental stuff that, you know, kind of deals with the, you know, main arc, but not really, I'd rather have something that's just like totally separate from everything. Like it has, you know, it's set in the universe and, you know, it might reference like the Empire, the Death Star or whatever, or, you know, maybe one of the main or secondary characters. But if it's just a completely new story that's just happens to be set in the Star Wars universe, I'd almost rather have that than all of this extra content that doesn't really, you know, change my opinion of characters that I've fallen in love with for the past 34 years.
So. No, exactly. Yeah. Like, and that was also something that the old Legends used to do very well, was have those kind of side books, like the Tales from the Mos Eisley Cantina, Tales from Jabba's Palace, and especially later, we were getting a lot of books, especially in the comics, where they weren't focusing on the big three. Like, the main books always focused on the main three, but the comics were kind of all over the place. And it feels like they kind of started off like that in the new canon. So I think this next topic is something that's a little near and dear to your hearts.
Yes.
Mr.
I saw this today, and I saw the art, and I'm like, I've got to have one of these. So the Force Awakens soundtrack is being re-released by a group called I Am Shark, and it's coming out on vinyl, though, which was previously released around the same, I think, month or so after the regular soundtrack was came out, and it was just a normal normal release. I think it was like a, a double LP or maybe a four. I think it was a double. I can't remember because I don't own it. Just because I never, you know, bought it, and it had like, I think when you spun it or when you spun the vinyl, it had like some kind of hologram thing when you played it like up against light and you were in the dark or something. But aside from that, I never got it just because I already have the digital version. So, you know, even though I'm a collector of vinyl, I just never really, you know, went out of my way to spend $40 on this. But now this one is a different story because it's four separate pressings. Each of them are limited to 500 copies, and the pre-sale or the pre-order just started. So if you want one of these, I highly recommend you go out and pre-order it. Each one has different artwork, which I think we saw this artwork leading up to TFA. I want to say they were released in one of the theater chains, maybe AMC. I think if you saw, I think if you saw the movie in, you know, a certain amount of time after it came out, they would give you a poster or something like that.
Okay.
But the cover art has Rey on one, Poe on the other, Phasma on the third, and then the fourth one is Kylo versus Finn. And if you just Google this, I'm sure you'll recognize the artwork. But the vinyl itself is also colored, which it kind of matches the actual cover art on the gatefold. And I'm in love with the Rey one just because I love Rey as a character. Like, she is up there with Obi-Wan as my favorite. And I'm a huge fan of this artwork. So
there's one of them where it's the catwalk that Han and Kylo Ben are out on, and it's Han's body falling down the shaft after he's been stabbed.
Yeah, apparently that's when you, because it's a gatefold cover, so when you know, when you don't have the paper, when you don't have the plastic sleeve around it, and you open it up, like that's the cover.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's pretty drastic.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it's like that on all of them. I looked at two of these, the actual pages, and they both have the Han falling to his death art. So I'm assuming they're all like that, but okay, don't take my word for it.
But oh man, if you guys take a look at this, maybe we should post it on the Twitter so people know what we're talking about.
Yeah, we probably should.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's something. But again, this is a 500 copies for each one. So that's about 2,000 each. And you can, if you search I Am Shark, The Force Awakens on Google, you can probably find it. I think it was $39.99 is how much they cost, which as someone who collects vinyl, that's outrageous.
Okay? I was going to say, that doesn't sound bad.
It's... Don't get me, like, this is for the cord cast. This is a discussion for that. But
okay,
I'll just say that if you are a person who collects vinyl and you want the, first of all, if you want the original trilogy Star Wars soundtracks, buy them used because they have them re-released now, and they cost like $30, and you can find, you know, close to mint copies used for like 10. I have all three, and my Return of the Jedi doesn't, it's scratched to hell pretty much. It's not, you know, you can't play it, but my only reason that I didn't really want a playable version is because I want to display them. I actually have the six film box set that was released, and that was $200. So, yeah, but it has the soundtracks from episodes 1, 2, and 3, which had not been released on vinyl until then. So, it was worth the $200. But yeah, I mean, $40 for a 500 copy, you know, limited edition pressing is okay, but it's, you know, it's still a little high, especially since, you know, you're not getting anything that you wouldn't get, you know, elsewhere, because it's not like it's an expanded soundtrack. It's just, you know, you really get it for the art and for the limited part of it. So hopefully I can get my hands on one.
You know, hopefully. I kind of feel you. I always wanted to get a copy of the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack on cassette when they did that. Mm-hmm. And all the record stores I knew only got like one or two copies.
You know, you're probably going to hate me, but I actually have that.
No, I don't hate you. I made my own playlist, and I don't even have anything to play it on. I just wanted it.
Yeah, that was me. I have a cassette, a cassette player somewhere that I could hook up to like speakers and stuff, but it's not with me right now. So one of these days I'll be able to play it. I don't even think I even opened it. So yeah, that is pretty cool. So last thing here is a really heartwarming thing. Last episode we talked about Her Universe and how it was relaunching. We got another Her Universe story to really end the show with this week. They just announced that there is a Princess Leia t-shirt. It's called the Self-Rescuing Princess Tee. And I've only seen like thumbnail pictures. So, Mike, you can maybe look up what the actual picture is that's on the shirt.
So it's a, I mean, it's a picture of her, and it's done in kind of this 80s Vogue look, and which is totally my aesthetic. And it's a picture. It's one of the classic pictures of Leia, like one of the classic stock photos, like publicity photos. And it says "Self-Rescuing Princess" on it.
That is cool.
It now, really
do
is.
Do you know if it's only a women's, or is it all sizes, men's, children, or just women?
It looks like it is only women's.
Okay.
But looking at the website right now, it says listed in junior sizes. But it's in I'm going to say an adult wearing it. She looks very young on the website. But as of right now, too, it is sold out in medium, large, and XL. So this is already going very fast.
Oh, wow.
As of this recording. So there's only extra small and small left.
Man. Well, you might be asking yourself, well, why are you talking about just a random t-shirt that has Princess Leia on it? Well, the proceeds are benefiting, and Mike, you're going to have to refresh me about the name here.
So it is going to the Thalians, which is a mental health program.
So yeah, that is a, cause you know, Carrie Fisher was, you know, a huge advocate for mental health. So, you know, that's why these proceeds are going to that organization. So it's no surprise to me that Star Wars fans and probably even non-Star Wars fans are snatching up this shirt, especially since it's going to a good cause like that. You know, I wish more, you know, organizations, not necessarily Star Wars, but like more nerd stuff would, you know, do this kind of like nice charitable work, even for, you know, it doesn't have to be because someone died and they were, you know, advocates for mental health or, you know, depression, suicide, whatever, you know, just donate some of your night, some of your proceeds to something. I mean, I would be more inclined to buy directly from the supplier or the maker, you know, than go to a store and, you know, get, you know, either the same product or the same quality or kind of product if I knew where my money was going to, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's why I'm such a big fan of, like, when they've been doing the Force for Change mm-hmm. events, and especially how other things are, you know, getting, like, other companies are kind of starting to get in on that, like other movies.
Yeah.
And I love that kind of giving back mm-hmm. thing. Like, that mentality is really cool. And to see, like, that's why I love the internet nowadays, because the internet, like, it's bringing everybody together like this
mm-hmm.
and making things more transparent. So it's really cool to see exactly how I'm benefiting somebody. And it's a nice, like, trade.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Essentially.
And it's even better that Star Wars is a leading voice in this, too. I mean, I know that there are other fandoms and other, you know, movies and franchises and stuff that, you know, do this kind of stuff. But, you know, Star Wars, be it, you know, something like this, or the, you know, when that terminally ill fan wanted to see The Force Awakens. I mean, you know, doing, it doesn't even have to be charity, but just little acts, random acts of kindness like that just really, really puts this fandom in a positive light, even though, you know, we go through some, you know, some rough times. It's still a very, very good thing to see.
Yeah, like, as much as people make fun of Star Wars fans, like, we're some of the coolest people.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and you know, speaking of Princess Leia, this isn't something that I was going to talk about, but we've not mentioned it on any of our shows. But if you're going to Celebration, there is a, and I don't know the full details just because I'm not going to participate or, you know, be involved with it. But there's apparently a charity gala that is going to be mm-hmm. happening one of the nights at Celebration.
Yep.
I think
it's called Drowning in Moonlight.
Mm-hmm. And it's hosted by Toshi Station.
They're
one of the sponsors.
Brian and Nancy seem to be the ones kind of doing a lot of the heavy lifting on it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's kind of cool. Something cool with a lot of the Star Wars podcasting community, and it's just, you know, one of the nights, you know, they're going to be doing it. I'm actually donating a piece of art.
Oh, really?
I've had this beautiful triptych. Poster of Princess Leia that I bought years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately it just doesn't go with anything that I have, you know, my wife and I, like, our art on the walls right now. So it's been kind of, you know, sitting in a corner mm-hmm. and I really wanted to go to somebody who would appreciate it. There was only 200 of these made. So I hit up Brian and Nancy and I was like, hey, like, I can't go to Celebration, and what can I do?
Mm-hmm.
And or how can I get this to you guys? So, yeah.
That's cool. That's really nice, Mike.
Okay. Yeah, no. But, yeah, so you guys will be able to see that at if you guys go to the event.
Cool. Well, you know, it's really nice to see, you know, people so – I mean, I feel unfortunately, I feel like a lot of people kind of took Carrie Fisher for granted when she was, you know, alive with us. And, you know, everyone, you know, talked about, you know, all of the struggles that she went through, or, you know, some of the, you know, getting back into the limelight and, you know, the things she had to go through to really, you know, make herself presentable. I mean, I always liked Carrie Fisher, you know, no matter what she looked like or, you know, what she was going through. I always thought she was a great person.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the fact that she, you know, went through so much and, you know, wanted to advocate for all of these things. Again, I just feel like we kind of took her for granted. But it's good that now, you know, I wish she was still here. It is very sad that she's gone, but it's nice that, you know, the fandom has kind of come together and really been very outspoken about, you know, mental health and you know, advocating for not only the stuff that, you know, Carrie would have, but also just the stuff that she spent, you know, many of her years talking about. So,
yeah. I mean, she's definitely going to be missed. Like, it still kind of haunts me to this day, but last year, I had the opportunity to meet her, and I didn't, and I chose not to. Not because I don't want to see her, but it's just, I think I was too busy or something. I don't remember exactly why, but it was just like, I just remember telling myself, like, you know, like, I'll meet her at the next thing. And like, now I'm just, I've been looking back on that ever since, this happened. And I was like, wow, like, you know, that you never thought this kind of thing would happen. And until it does. So now that I've brought the entire show down.
It's sad that was our last piece of news, because now we have to close the show.
Hang on, real quick. Star Wars Land at Disneyland. surprise bonus. Construction's still going on that. Hopefully I can get out there soon to get a picture, because unlike the rest of the network, you know, some of us are out here on the West Coast and easily accessible to Disneyland. So, you know, hopefully I will be able to get a new updated picture of the construction. There are a lot, though, already. If you just kind of look up Star Wars Land updates, make sure you look at the Disneyland one, because they're also doing the one in Florida, but that's not nearly as interesting.
Plus, I think all of the things we've seen are just for Disneyland, right?
For the most part, because I think that is where most of the money is going for it. Little inside Disney stuff. Florida, for the longest time, was getting better things than Disneyland. Kind of became the focus of the country, of the company again. And now Florida, probably for the last almost 20 years, has kind of been getting the bastardized versions of Disneyland rides. So, you know, just this is another little notch on our belt. I love Florida, though. Florida's great.
I wouldn't be talking about that because, you know, one of these days you'll end up there for a celebration, so...
I mean, we were planning on going. We were going to take our honeymoon in Disney World and then pop over to Celebration for a day and then, you know, go back to the parks. Unfortunately, it's just not coming together, so it's not going to happen this time. But we're still going to be going to Florida sometime because I love Disney World.
I haven't been there since, probably... over 10 years now, probably close to 15 years. So I might, when I go to Florida, try to go to Disney, but it's not looking likely, but you know, who knows what will happen between now and April.
So,
well, that's going to do it for this episode of The Outer Rim. It's weird saying that, because usually that's, I'm so used to Lou saying that. Here we are on episode 72, and it's the first time that I actually get to say that. So, if you wanted to, you know, comment on any of these news stories, you know what? I'm gonna stop right there because I just remembered we have a piece of feedback that I meant to talk about on the last episode, but I forgot. So let's see, bring it up on my phone. This is from, Aaron from Silver Spring, Maryland.
Hello, Aaron.
Hey, Chris, Lindsay, and Mike. First of all, I wanted to thank you for all of the random chatter shows you produce and for filling the void of the now-defunct Forcecast Network. The new show is off to a great start. I liked the laid-back discussion of the latest Star Wars news. I know you guys talk Star Wars news elsewhere, but this one seemed more focused and scratched an itch I didn't know I needed. I don't really want to see General Leia get recast in Episode 9. I hope her role in Episode 8 was substantial enough that they could manipulate deleted or alternate scenes of her character and insert them into Episode 9. If she is killed off screen in episode 9, maybe Hux blows up her ship or a rebel base. Leia's death would make a hell of an impact on Kylo Ren, especially if it wasn't under his order. So, can't wait for the next episode. So,
well, thank you, Aaron. Yes. I kind of agree with you. I wasn't on board until you mentioned them killing Leia without Kylo's approval. That would be kind of a cool character moment for Kylo to kind of be going back towards the light again, you know, especially because of his mother, and then having that torn away from him rather than him actually committing it this time. I think that would be really cool. Mm-hmm. The flip side to that is I don't want to see them kill another main character off like that.
Yeah.
Because we killed Han in the last movie, and also especially because we killed off Carrie Fisher, or we didn't kill her. Wow.
Jeez, Mike.
I know. God. But because she just passed away, I don't think it would be a bad taste, but I just don't think that would be the most appropriate thing. Mm-hmm. But I like the idea behind it. I think that would be really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now that I think about it, because we know that Han died by Kylo's hands, so you would imagine that he's going to feel that same animosity towards his mom. So if you know, she dies, you know, from, you know, the First Order's hands without, you know, again, his approval or, you know, by him, you know, his actual self, I mean, that could really do something to the character that I don't think we've really seen in a Star Wars movie. I mean, we've seen, you know, characters react to another character's death, but not in that way, I don't think.
Yeah, we haven't had another character kind of killed off without wanting to have, without an order put on them.
Yeah.
Like, we saw Alderaan get blown up because Tarkin ordered it, and you know, Leia reacting. Mm-hmm. But seeing that kind of ripped from Kylo, I find that interesting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I agree. I like it. I just don't think, I just don't think it would be great for this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd much rather have something happen in 9, just because, I mean, what can you do?
What can you do?
Yeah. But yeah, thank you, Aaron, for your feedback. Sorry, I meant to, or that's a little bit late from when you sent it. I meant to include it last week, but we didn't really. I forgot to put it in the show notes, and then I realized what I did afterwards.
Hey, as long as we get to them, that's exactly the important thing.
So,
but if more people want to send us feedback, Chris, where can they do that?
They can do that using the same old email that has been for the show previously. It's outerrim@randomchatter.com. That will definitely go to me. That's actually probably still set up to go to Eric and Lou as well. But I will have it changed to where it goes to me, Mike, and Lindsay. So yeah, just outerrim@randomchatter.com. You can also contact us on our Facebook. We have facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. And then also our Twitter, at Outer Rim Podcast. So if you weren't following Outer Rim before, be sure to give us a follow there. The network Twitter is at Random Chatter. My Twitter is at The Curse of Chris. Lindsay's Twitter is at Betty Bloodshed. That's BETTIE, Bloodshed. Mike, what is your Twitter?
You can follow me on Twitter at It's The Rocketeer. That's ITS The Rocketeer. And if you guys like what you hear on the network, tell a friend about us. We got a ton of content here, starting with Random Chatter, the main show on the network, which is going to be coming to you a couple times a week now. Echo Base, the discussion Star Wars show. We have a couple of TV show-based podcasts here. Green Justice, Scarlet Velocity, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Case Files, Crash Couch, and Ghost Stories, which is about Star Wars Rebels, which is something that Lindsay and I host on the side. Chris, you do Crash Couch.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have Chordcast, which is covers your music, and the other show that I do on the network called The Retro Convo, where we cover old movies and stuff. We also got a ton of written content on the website, randomchatter.com, where there's book reviews, movie reviews, TV show reviews, that for other shows we don't have podcasts for. So check it out.
Yep. And finally, you can spread the network. Not spread the network. My fault.
By all means, spread the network.
You can support the network at patreon.com/randomchatter. We would like to thank all of our donors that's been sticking with us through this past year. We're actually coming up on our 1 year anniversary of the relaunch
of Random
Chatter, which, wow, it's hard to believe.
it's been a crazy year.
Yeah, so
you know, but hey, I like to think we're home now. We've got our boxes unpacked and everything. You know, we're glad you guys have come with us. You're all a crazy bunch. I've read it. I read your Slack messages. I'm not in Slack a whole bunch, but you guys crack me up every time I go in there. So,
yeah. So if you want more information about how you can donate to the network and actually get some cool stuff in return, Mike just mentioned our Slack channel, which you get for just donating $1 a month. So check that out. That's at patreon.com/randomchatter. That's all we got for this week. Like I said, if you you can subscribe to our feed on the Outer Rim on iTunes or Stitcher or whatever you want to, whatever kind of podcast feed you use. I'm not an Apple user, so I have no idea how iTunes works. So, and you know, if you're looking for the old Outer Rim again, that is now going to be released as a Random Chatter episode. So, make sure your feeds are in order. Leave us reviews, do all that cool stuff. Yeah, that's all we got now. So we'll see everyone next time. Take care.